1 o'clock, you're listening to This Week with Joan O'Sullivan and Justin McCarthy. Coming up on the programme...
Kabul falls to the Taliban. We'll have reaction from the Afghan capital and hear from Afghan citizens who are fearful for their safety.
We'll also have analysis from one of the leading experts on Afghanistan on what the future holds for the region. Taliban forces have entered the capital of Afghanistan, Kabul, tightening their grip on the city in their bid to take control of the country. Taliban fighters are now waiting for the Afghan president to resign and negotiate an orderly transfer of power. They surrounded Kabul earlier today following a 10-day rout of government forces. A few moments ago, I spoke with Kim Singupta, who is defence and diplomatic editor with the London Independent. He has been in Kabul for the past 2 weeks, and he told me what's been happening there today.
Well, the Taliban have taken over effectively. The security forces have left the checkpoint. You see the Talibs inside the city. They're in their four-wheel drives. You see them on their motorcycles. There has been some shooting, sporadic, intensifying a bit, but that has died down now. And at the moment, everything is very, very silent. And the streets are very, very empty. All the shops are shut. There is talk about a negotiated deal, with a transfer of power, which would effectively mean a surrender of power to the Taliban. But that looks like the only option at the moment. It will require the President Ashraf Ghani to resign and an interim government being formed, which would probably be, if it does take place, it'll probably be either tonight or tomorrow.
So at the moment, Kim, this looks to you, does it like a peaceful transition?
Well, just you know, you simply can't predict what's going to happen in the last, I'll be 2 weeks now, and something entirely unexpected has happened almost every day. So we simply don't know. I think the hope is that that there will be a peaceful transition. The fear is that if there isn't, it's going to be quite bloody. But things change here, by the hour almost. So people are just waiting with great trepidation to find out what's going to happen.
Can you give us a picture of the scene in the city earlier today, before the Taliban forces arrived in the city? Were people trying to get out? What was the scene like around Kabul?
Well, look, I mean, people can't get out by road because the Taliban very systematically and very well have cut every single route out of the city. Now, the airport was, as you'd expect, absolute pandemonium, with people trying to get in. Also, some trying to, who have arrived from other cities in Afghanistan, trying to get out. You've also got, of course, the arrival of the American and British force, who are also at the airport, adding to the chaos. That was the scene this morning. There's also chaos in the streets because people were trying to buy food and other essentials from dwindling stock in shops and huge price rises. But the main problem today has been a run on the banks. You know, the banks say they simply haven't got any more money, so they were, people obviously very upset, very angry. There were some shots fired outside the bank, let alone for political reasons. But all that has now ended. The city is sort of ghostly almost, very quiet. People are indoors and waiting to see what happens.
Waiting to see what happens. That's Kim Singupta, who is defence and diplomatic editor with the London Independent, speaking to me from Kabul a short time ago. Joan.
There are many residents in Kabul who fear the advance of the Taliban. Among them is Burhan Vassal, who worked as an interpreter with British forces in Afghanistan back in 2011. When he arrived to work at a government office in Kabul this morning, he found the doors locked and staff fleeing. When I spoke to him earlier this morning, he was desperately trying to make his way through the gridlock streets of the city to reach his family.
I was in 2011 up to 2009 to 2011 as interpreter with British forces. And now, when if Kabul collapses and fall into hands of Taliban, I don't know where to go. Where should I hide? Even I can't trust my relatives, because if I go to their compounds, it might be danger for me. They may someone told to the Taliban members that I'm hiding here.
Where are you now?
I'm just on my way to go home. But there is no way. Everywhere is blocked by people. People are running in the streets. People are rushing into their houses. The roads are blocked. I don't know why the roads are currently blocked. But the government offices also been closed. They are tweeting from their websites that everything is normal. But what we are watching inside the city, there is nothing is normal.
Are you on foot or are you driving at the moment?
Yes, I'm inside my car. Driving. It's about 2 hours that I'm driving inside city to go out towards my home, which is in green zone area. But there is no way. All the way is blocked.
And had you been at work today?
I've just left to go my duty. When I go to my duty, there was just chaos. Everyone was running and the door was blocked. When I returned, still I'm inside the city and not reached to my house.
So it was when you arrived at work that you realized something was wrong?
Yes. Everyone, our CEO, our boss, left and the door was blocked by securities and told me that there's no one allowed to go inside. Those who were coming outside, they were packing their stuffs, like computer, like their needs, and was going out from their office.
Who were you working with?
First FVP, first Vice President office, Amrullah Saleh.
So you were working with government then?
Yes, I was working with the government as a mentor.
And the first you realized that something was seriously wrong was when you arrived to work and discovered the doors were locked?
Yeah, when I see that, when I returned back to that city, I saw people were running inside the city. There was no vehicle to carry them. There was no buses. Everyone was running, including women, children, men, fear of coming Taliban. But still, I haven't seen any member of Taliban inside the city. Only I'm seeing the people, no member of Afghan National Security Force, no Taliban. Just people are rushing everywhere.
And you're stuck in gridlock traffic at the moment, trying to make it to your house on the outskirts of the city.
Yes. I'm just driving towards my home. I don't know what will happen next. I have a wife who is a doctor and a son, 5 years old.
The Taliban have released a statement saying that there will not be violence when they enter the city. Does that reassure you in any way?
Since 20 years, they are telling this to the people. But what we see in just recent days, they slaughtered people inside the cities. They killed many those who are social activists, those who are working with coalition forces, those who are working with the government in sensitive areas. They all been slaughtered, and we are witness for that. Media is with. We have seen many in Kandahar, we have seen many in Herat, we have seen many in other provinces. Everyone have this fear, even Taliban camp. They have. We know that they never change, they never will be changed, because their cruelty is known to people. They will never leave anyone who work with the government, those who work with coalition forces.
What will you do when you reach your house?
Just when I reach my house, I will lock my door and will go to some place to keep my myself and my family safe. I don't know where, but maybe my parents' house or someone else.
But you'll be going into hiding.
Yes, I have to hide.
Burhan Vassal speaking to us earlier this morning. We're joined now by Juliet Gash of our foreign staff. Juliet, obviously events are moving quickly. What do we know about Irish citizens in Afghanistan? How many of them are there? What kind of situation are they facing?
Well, Joan, we got a statement from the Department of Foreign Affairs, and all they will say on the number of citizens, Irish citizens in Afghanistan, is that there is a small number of Irish citizens. They won't be more precise than that. And they're the ones who are registered with the Embassy of Ireland in Abu Dhabi. Basically, Ireland has no diplomatic staff on the ground in Kabul, but they're consular mission is provided out of Abu Dhabi. So they have advised any Irish citizens currently in Afghanistan to leave as soon as possible by commercial means due to the worsening security situation. I've spoken to an organiser for Médecins Sans Frontières. They still have staff in Afghanistan and they, as of this morning, weren't preparing to leave immediately. So it's unclear whether there is there is a full scramble of people to leave, but we have heard of many embassies being evacuated. The Department of Foreign Affairs did say that it's consistently called on the Taliban to end its campaign of violence and to commit to a permanent ceasefire. They've also said that they're particularly concerned about reports of violence and coercion against women and girls, including reports of forced marriage and sexual violence and serious human rights abuses against civilians across Afghanistan. And to this end, Ireland will be hosting a meeting of the informal expert group on women, peace and security at the UN next week on the situation of women in Afghanistan, and they're monitoring the deteriorating humanitarian crisis. It's worth knowing as well, remembering that the British Parliament looks like it's going to be recalled next week from its summer break to discuss the situation as well.
I see that the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, has tweeted to say that reports from Afghanistan are deeply depressing and noting that Taliban forces say they have no plans to take the capital by force.
Welcome back. You're listening to This Week with Joan O'Sullivan and Justin McCarthy. More on developments now in Afghanistan. We heard earlier that the Taliban has now entered the capital, Kabul, and is preparing to take control of the city. Let's get some analysis now on what has been happening. Professor Michael Semple from Queen's University Belfast and from the Mitchell Institute for Global Peace and Justice was for many years an advisor in Afghanistan to the UN and the EU and is one of the leading experts on the region. I spoke with him a short time ago and asked him, after the fall of Kabul, how things were now likely to play out.
Events in Afghanistan have moved with breathtaking speed. Already they started to pick up from the middle of May and over the past week. Nobody has been able to keep up with them. Today the Taliban are taking over control of Kabul, the capital, and through that they are asserting their authority throughout the length and breadth of Afghanistan. I don't think that we can call this a peaceful takeover in that they have used force of arms at every stage along the way. It's just that resistance collapsed right until the last minute. There have been acts of violence and fighting, but this is not a pitched battle to take over the city. The resistance collapsed. Nobody has basically been standing up against the Taliban in the end.
The speed, as you say, is phenomenal. How have the Taliban forces been able to organise themselves so quickly, and why have the Afghan forces struggled so badly?
Well, I think this is something which will be argued about for a long time. The Taliban were already well organised. They've built up a unified command in their movement over the years. And for a long time, I must say, I have noted and warned that the Taliban didn't need to build up an army superior to the one that they faced. They were always counting on triggering defections and surrenders. And that's what they pulled off in spectacular style. They managed to undermine the willingness of the other side to stand against them, although I've done a lot of probing, listened to an awful lot of Afghans. The vast majority seem to either dread or resent the prospect of a Taliban takeover. But in the end, nobody felt they could stand against them. I think that primarily this was a disastrous failure of leadership on the other side.
You say that Afghans have a sense of dread about what is coming, but why then did the Afghan people not put up more of a fight? Why did we not see more resistance from the citizens?
Well, I have listened to accounts from many of the would-be resistance leaders who put it simply that resistance requires resources. There's a very limited amount that you can do if you are just, and so the Afghan tradition, depending on people to sell their jewellery to finance the bullets and guns that are required to resist. So they, those who have sort of popular support and the ability to recruit in Afghanistan, they looked to the government to deliver those resources to mobilize resistance forces after the army had started to collapse. And basically, the government didn't deliver. The government did not pivot after it saw that its security forces had lost so much territory. Much of that also because of failures of leadership, rather than because of the tactical commanders on the ground. But when they suffered the reverses in the regular forces, they were not able to pivot as many Afghans expected them to encouraging, supporting, resourcing, and integrating into the battle these resistance forces. In the end, they sat back and let the Taliban take over the country.
So when US President Joe Biden then said that they had the capabilities, that they were well equipped and well trained to fight back, was he being naive? Was he being untruthful?
I think he hadn't received an up-to-date briefing on the extent to which the combination of the confusion and demoralization around the US withdrawal, the superb propaganda work of the Taliban, the multiple failures of the Afghan leadership, all of those had undermined the capabilities of the Afghan armed forces. So in the end, it doesn't matter how many tanks and bombs and aircraft you to supply to an army, if it's poorly led from its military and political leaders, if it has no morale, then those guns and tanks are irrelevant. And this is what has happened in Afghanistan over the past few weeks.
Now, earlier in the programme, we heard from an interpreter in Kabul, Burhan Vasil, as he attempted to make his way through the gridlock streets of the capital. Within the last hour, he sent us this voice message explaining that the situation for him had worsened.
When I was driving, two motorcycles stopped next to me. Under their scarf, there was a gun showing me and told me to calm down. I just locked my doors and windows. They were knocking. Then I told them what? The next person who was behind him told him to go. Then they left the area. Just gunshot is hearing everywhere. And also some armed gangsters who were inside the Kabul just stopping people, robbing, taking their money, their mobile phones. The situation is very, very worst. Everyone is worried.
Burhan Vasil speaking there within the last hour.